Good morning, everyone. An unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect Dharma is rarely met with, even in 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words. Good morning. You might notice that we're in a slightly different setting than usual this morning. Thank you, Steve and Matt, for welcoming us to your yard. Thank you to the trees and the crows and whatever little critters are walking on the ground here. It's just a real pleasure to be sitting outside. Those of you on the screen, can you hear me okay? Thumbs up if you can. Great. And can you all hear me okay? Okay, great. So if my voice drops, as it tends to do sometimes, please just wave at me or put your hand up or something so that I know that I'm unheard. So I think it's fitting for us today to focus on our attention to the earth, the sky, the water, the creatures that inhabit our world. We all know that we cannot exist without the earth. So today, let us recall that we are of the earth. Our very shape is determined by the fact that the earth holds our feet and our butts to the ground with gravity, that when things fall, we pick them up with hands that are made for that purpose. Our breath is made up of the air of this world. Our bodies are something over 98% water. We are an entity, a being, and a person who breathes and walks and loves and longs for peace, esteem, rest, good work, and companionship. We are an individual. This is as it should be here in this world. And it is also true that there is no separate body, no self that stands apart from the rest. There is only the way things have taken shape in this body, mind, and heart at this time. Both are true at exactly the same time. This is essential to remember. Both are true. We take care of this individual as an expression of all that is. We do not have dominion over anything. Ever. We are of this. So it is good to recall that we are made for this earth, of this earth. We see beauty because we are made in such a way that we can see it. We have eyes and ears and noses and tongues and skin and bones and minds that can perceive. We can perceive balance. We can perceive edges. We smell things. We hear things. And we are also told, no eyes, no ears, no tongue, no body, no mind. Same thing. No separate. No separate. So we cannot even say that we depend on the earth. That makes it sound like we could take it or leave it. And I suppose we could fly off into space and find another earth, maybe. but we would still be made the way we are, inseparable. Remembering this supports us to remember who we are and recalls us to right relationship in reality. It reminds us to ask how we honor that which supports and creates our every move, that which we are. We ask, how do we honor this olive tree in front of us that looks venerable? Yeah? So beautiful. The fruit that's around us. So many things that we have to pay attention to. And things like, you know, those little gnats that come around me, you know? You say, we want to get rid of those. We want to get rid of those things. But that is not the way of things. That is not the way of things. So one way to honor is to sit down, to feel the fact of our butt on the earth, even if we're in a chair, to stop the spinning thoughts that pulls us away from concrete reality, pulls us away from just being it. The Buddha sat under a tree, sat right through the night, and awakened to reality with the morning star, with it. Morning star, awake Buddha, no separation. Buddha's awakening was witnessed by the earth itself, rumbling, calling all reality to witness such a marvelous thing that even for a moment, we wake up to what's most true. So I'd like to encourage us to do this morning together as we sit here, to be aware of the grass and the trees, the insects, the birds, the animals around us, and the beings that sleep during the day, you know, the ones that you don't see, like the raccoons that come out and get your garbage in the middle of the night. To sit with Buddha, to sit as Buddha. When we spin off into all the thoughts that we have about our lives and reality, we gently and firmly let them go, like birds in the air. No judgment, no struggle, just let them go. Easy, natural. This is discipline. This is a discipline of caring for ourselves and all beings. Just to return in a simple and steady way, honoring who and what we are most deeply. This is a way we invite gratitude into our minds and hearts. A gratitude that can infuse our being with an attitude of simple reverence, an orientation in which the world and everything of it is regarded as equally worthy of respect and care. From that, our response comes naturally. We respond. This is not self-centered, you know, let's just sit and feel good. This is a discipline, a kind and thorough discipline that allows us to be of this world in a way that's effective. This is a central value to many wise teachers. I would say all wise teachers. And it is certainly central to Dogen Zenji's teachings. Dogen tells us that all beings, sentient and insentient, living and non-living, human, animal, plant, rocks, coffee cups, zafus, ladders, pots. All are Buddha nature. He says that he regrets that most people, here I quote, do not realize that the universe is proclaiming the actual body of Buddha. The universe is proclaiming the actual body of Buddha. This is the end of the quote. And then I say, when we only perceive what is superficial, what is made of our ideas and our projections, we do not perceive, and these are Dogen's words, Buddha's shape, form, and voice in the landscape. Buddha's shape, form, and voice in the landscape. Our true nature, the web of reality that is our life, that is Buddha's shape, form, and voice in the landscape. It is never absent, but we do not perceive it a lot of the time. We act in most foolish ways. When we do not live in a world in which this is a central reality, we cannot see or appreciate this truth when we fall into the habit of defining reality only in terms of our own needs. When we regard other things sentient and non-sentient only in terms of how they relate to us, how they can be used by us. This is such an ingrained habit. When we unseat this, as we must, then each entity, each moment, each aspect comes forth with its own dignity, its own reality. And that's the world we live in. This self-centeredness is a delusion that we must take care to unseat. We must listen to reality with humility and gratitude. Listen to what all others say to us. Human, non-human, sentient, insentient. This is what we do when we let go of self-centeredness and just allow ourselves to be. Right now, the way we're talking about this is we sit and allow what we call nature. What is nature? You know, something outside of us. When we sit and allow what we call nature to touch us, that's where we begin. Right? Well, we begin with allowing ourselves to be touched. Because then we can learn what is nature but us in the deepest possible sense. So our effort is just to see as clearly as we can, just to appreciate, just to engage and respond fully, including all of reality. That is what we're doing here this morning. Dogen tells us that the sutras, the words and expressions of the Buddha, he says, are the entire universe, mountains and rivers and the great earth, plants and trees. They are self and others, taking meals and wearing clothes, confusion and dignity. So let me read that again. Dogen tells us that the words of the Buddha, the sutras, are, here I quote, the entire universe, mountains and rivers and the great earth, plants and trees, they are self and other, taking meals and wearing clothes, confusion and dignity. So let's not forget that last part. Confusion and dignity. So the sutras don't come alive when we got it all together, right? When we're perfect or clear seeing all the time. We screw up regularly, right? I mean, is there anybody here that does not? Maybe somebody online? that's perfect, that's like doesn't screw up, that doesn't mistake, that doesn't get sloppy, that doesn't ever say, oh, you know? That is not confusion and dignity together. This is the entire universe. Mountains and rivers, the great earth, plants and trees, rocks, coffee cups, compost heaps, plastic bags even. You know, when we take meals and wear clothes, confusion and dignity, acting in the world, spending a morning sitting together under these beautiful trees, there is nothing, nothing at all that is not included. And our practice is to live a life with that truth as the center. When we live with that truth at the center, we have a chance of doing something worthwhile, something helpful, something true to this world. When we live in this way, the entire world is our teacher. The entire world speaks to us of what is most true, how to live, who we and all beings are. That is what we are doing. That is what we are doing this morning. Realizing in each moment, the entire world is our teacher. Making that concrete with our effort in each moment. Simple, direct. Please don't be harsh. Please. I say this over and over again. Please don't be harsh. That is a waste of time. And it's not helpful. Simple. Be here. This is what we're doing this morning. There'll be plenty of other things to do later. We don't sit all the time. So when we take the time to sit, we sit thoroughly. And then when we take the time to wash our dishes, to care for our neighbor, to write a letter, to do whatever we need to do to support this earth, to support our being, we do that. We do that grounded in the confidence that comes from being just this. So right now we make a concrete effort. We attend to our breath. We attend to our butts. We attend to our minds and our hearts. We let thoughts go and we listen deeply to our true nature. Dogen says, when you endeavor in right practice, the voices and figures of streams and the sounds and shapes of mountains together with you bounteously deliver 84,000 gatas. Just as you are unsparing in surrendering fame and wealth and body mind, so are the brooks and the mountains. Let me read that to you again. When you endeavor in right practice, the voices and figures of streams and the sounds and shapes of mountains together with you bounteously deliver 84,000 gatas. Just as you are unsparing in surrendering fame and wealth and body mind, so are the brooks and the mountains. This surrendering is allowing our self-centeredness, our stories, our greed, our desire to dominate, to surrender that. Surrender that. Surrender to the reality of this moment, this earth, this sky. We are unsparing in that effort. Kindly. This is the essence of kindness. To be unsparing. To know that we can afford to be unsparing because we are of this earth. We are supported. We are not at war with anything. If we do not know this truth, we cannot surrender. Because what we're surrendering is delusion. Fame and wealth, all those tantalizing things that we think are going to bring us ease and tell us who we are, just take a deep breath and surrender them. And then we know that the brooks and the mountains are doing the same thing, because it is the mountain way, it is the brook way, it is the human way. This is the spirit of our way. It's our relationship in and to and of the world. And I want to say again, this is not limited in any way to humans. It includes not just living beings, all living beings, cats and frogs and ants and elephants, trees and grass and flowers. It also includes those beings that we often consider non-living, insentient, rocks, spoons, toilet bowls. Limiting what we listen to those things that we designate as living limits what we can hear, how we can be transformed by what we hear, and how we respond to our world. Dogen tells us that even rocks preach the Dharma, and they do it in rock voices. He says, "The way insentient beings expound the true teachings should not be understood to be like the way sentient beings do." Okay? "The way sentient beings expound the true teaching should not be understood to be like the way sentient beings do." Now, why should we care about this? He tells us that we should not usurp the voices of the living, nor conjecture about the non-living beings in terms of them. He's telling us to radically let go of what we think we know. We may not be able to understand rock voices, but that does not mean they do not exist. We do not understand all human languages, but they're equally real. If we spend time enough listening with the aim to hear, we listen with the intention to hear, we begin to understand. We grow into a being that can catch a glimpse. We begin to have ears that can hear rock teachings. The voices of streams and rocks, of all beings, do not cease when we do not attend. They are always there. If we take time to listen, if our minds become even a little bit calmer, we begin to be able to hear. As we release our minds and hearts from the prison of self-centeredness and cease colonizing reality with our ideas, we are taught beyond our ideas. This is not just a private experience. When we see in this way, we find a way to act to support this Buddha world. We find a way to live. I thought I would close with one of my favorite poems by the poet Wendell Berry. There it is. It's called "The Law That Marries All Things." The cloud is free only to go with the wind. The rain is free only in falling. The water is free only in its gathering together, in its downward courses, in its raising into air. In law is rest. If you love the law, if you enter singing into it, a water in its descent. Our song is truest law, and you must enter singing. It has no other entrance. It is the great chorus of parts. The only outlawry is indivision. Whatever is singing is found awaiting the return of whatever is lost. Meet us in the air, over the water, sing the swallows. Meet me, the red bird sings. Here, here, here. Do you want to hear it again? Mm-hmm. A little louder. Can you all hear? Okay. The law that marries all things. And remember, the Dharma is often called the law. Not like la, 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 but that which is the truth of our world. The cloud is free only to go with the wind. The rain is free only in falling. The water is free only in its gathering together, in its downward courses, in its rising into air. In law is rest. If you love the law, if you enter singing into it as water in its descent. Or song is truest law, and you must enter singing. It has no other entrance. It is the great chorus of parts. Thank you. The only outlawry is in division. Whatever is singing is found awaiting the return of whatever is lost. Meet us in the air. Over the water sings the swallows. Meet me, the red bird, or the crow, sings. Meet me, the red bird sings. Here, here, here. So, I suggest we commit ourselves to listening this morning in the way that Dogen Zenji and Brother Crow asks us to listen to the earth, to the air, to the living and non-living beings that surround us, that are us, that we are inextricably bound with, and to meet as Wendell Berry asks us to meet. This discipline is one of reverence, kindness, respect, and inclusiveness. Firm, firm, and filled with good heart. In this way, we enjoy our time together. Thank you very much.